Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." Verum Domini.
Salvation to Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The children of his servant shall inherit it. Those who love his name shall dwell
there. Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. Through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they stripped and beat him, and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these three, in your opinion, was a neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, the one who treated him with mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Verbum Domini. Some of the most moving and profound scenes in the gospel are when Jesus shows compassion. And the compassion of Jesus is pure love. And when someone experiences the compassion of Jesus, they are receiving this act of mercy. But they are receiving it from one who truly knows their pain. Because that's what compassion is to know the pain, the suffering of somebody else. And Jesus knows this better than anyone. He can relate to us. He understands us better than anybody else. And as we see here in the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke emphasizes that Jesus came for all people, not just the Jew, but the Gentile, for everybody. And in Jesus coming for all people, he doesn't look at skin color, language, or place of origin. What Jesus sees is somebody made in his own image and likeness. He sees a human person, and that's who he has come to love and to call to himself. And Jesus, he gives us this love. He pours it unconditionally, and he calls us to give the same charity and mercy. So here in this gospel passage, Jesus is being asked a question. It says, well, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? Jesus says, you know the law. You know, he tells him what the law is. It's all about love. You know, loving your neighbor. And this man asks Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus gives him this parable of the Good Samaritan. And when we take a deep look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, you see a man who was attacked by brigands. A brigand is somebody who, of course, a group of people who is like maybe a small mob, and they would attack people on mountains or in forests, in isolated places where they're alone. They beat them, take all their belongings, and go off. So this was common in places in Israel at the time, in Samaria. And so, like, here we have a traveler who was going along the way. And usually at those times, travelers didn't go alone. They went in caravans with other people. No, they usually in large groups. Well, this man was alone, and he shouldn't have been alone. In a way, he was kind of careless, but there he went alone. And then, of course, somebody beat him. But then we have two people who walk by, a priest and a Levite. Well, you would think naturally the priest would go and pick him up. But at that time, you know, the Hebrews, they considered a man who was left for dead, one who was bloody and beaten, that if they touched him, they would become unclean. especially if he was a Gentile. And so what this would do is that they would then be forbidden to enter the temple and offer sacrifice for a period up to 7 days. So there he is. He just left him alone, walked away. Then you have this Levi, and for the same reasons, he would not be want to be considered impure. At the same time, you know, people would not go and touch those who were abandoned on the roadside. And for the reason of that, many people were impersonating a sick and wounded person. And then once someone came to tend to them, they would pop up, they would beat them in return and take all of their belongings and run off. So there was a little bit of fear in going over to help somebody. But Jesus says that here comes this Samaritan after. And the Samaritan, he's not afraid. The Samaritan sees a broken and bloody man and goes to help him. He acts out of compassion. See, the Samaritan is not looking at him and says, well, he deserved this. Now let him rot there. No, the Samaritan sees their pain. He sees a wounded man, and he cares for him. And this is the type of charity we are called to do. Now, of course, that means, God, who has said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, another reason why the Jews didn't really want to help a person is because many of the rabbis at the time would teach that to help the neighbor would mean to only help the Jew, and that's what neighbor meant. But they were wrong. Jesus is saying, everybody is your neighbor. And Jesus, whom we follow, he goes before us and shows us how to love our neighbor with mercy and compassion. And so this is something we need to remember in our daily lives. Now, whether we are in the home, in your workplace, you know, out in the world, something we all got to be mindful is the sufferings of somebody else. And sometimes we're just too caught up in ourselves or kind of full of ourselves to see the suffering of somebody else. Now, St. Paul will tell us in Philippians chapter 2, he says, put others' interests before your own. Put put others' needs before your own. Because this is what Jesus does. And what we see in Jesus is that he's so sensitive to people's hurts, to their needs, that he feels it, he's feeling it himself. Do you remember that one time in the gospel, I believe it's Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus and his disciples, they had been working hard, going about preaching and doing various works of mercy. And then it says, Jesus, let us go away and rest for a while. And then as they're trying to do that, then there's a large crowd coming to them. But what does Jesus do? Does he run away? No, Jesus is looking at them. He's feeling their pain. He goes and helps them. He says that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. People in desperation. And Jesus answers this desperation with compassion. And so people are all around us suffering, and we need to be aware of that. Now, and Jesus as he's living here on this earth, now him, of course, yeah, he's fully God, fully man, the divine person of the Lord. But Jesus, he doesn't have an easy life. When you think about the life of Jesus, I mean, there was suffering. He was poor. He lived in Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't a major metropolitan city. You know, Jesus worked with his hands. No, and his life was threatened from almost right after his conception, of course, into all the way where he's dying on the cross. They were always after him. You know, in the womb, Mary could have been stoned. because here she is pregnant. Well, it was the the conception, the Holy Spirit. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit, you know, but here she is showing up pregnant. I mean, where's your husband? They could have said, you know, so right early on. And then, you know, after he's born, then Herod wants to kill him. So then they have to flee to Egypt. No, and this would, well, of course, this tear, being aware of his life being threatened would be for the rest of his life. Now, so he knows people's pain very well. He's experienced it himself. And so this is for us now in these times. Now there, of course, we see those who are most in need in our world. Now there, we look at the message of life. Those who are most vulnerable. We see those who are at their weakest. The unborn, of course, the elderly. But we can't forget those in the middle too. They need help too. And what would Jesus do if he was here? He would be helping everybody, loving everyone. Right now, if this was his time, he'd be speaking out. No, he'd be saying something. He'd be showing compassion. That's the example we imitate. So whether it's supporting the efforts of pro-life or the people hurting and wounded in these times, no, even those who are immigrants. Now, yeah, this is could be very controversial, but they are people who need help. Now, a lot of them come here out of desperation. And like we look at the life of Jesus, he was an immigrant too, having to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt. No. And so here we are today, and the Lord calls us to be sensitive to those needs. Doesn't matter whatever our political ways are or our following. We go with the way of Jesus Christ, the way of the church. The way of the church is to look with compassion, to look with love. We are interested here in souls first and foremost, bringing people to God. And so we have to then look at our own lives too. And we can see the times when people have showed us compassion, when God has given us mercy, even when we didn't deserve it, he gave it to us. And what would we be without that? And so we are the ones who are to bring Jesus to others. We are the ones who do give these acts of love, even the most simplest ones, because these are the ones that are life-changing. These are the ones that tell people that they are loved by God. God bless you all.